And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That is exactly right, Fred.
And we want you all to visit us at fredandjeff.com, where you can look at, listen to, see past
enjoy
past shows. You can download them, listen to them. There's also pictures of all our guests and various other accoutrements, including
other stuff
like,
yes. Like
schedule,
other stuff.
Schedule of events,
right?
Upcoming
exactly.
events and such. Visit us on visit us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook too.
Okay,
and
Fred,
follow
we
us
talk
on Twitter.
About this.
No, we never talk about this stuff.
Yes, we did.
Well, you my general speech impediment you make fun of, but if that's what you consider talking about, then okay.
Okay, we talked about that.
All right. So there is,
and you can download us on iTunes. And don't forget, podcast us, man.
Actually, subscribe to iTunes.
That's what I meant. Subscribe to the Fred Jeff
so
Show.
So it automatically
iTunes.
Downloads into your happy little iTunes account every time we.
Whether you want it to or not. We're coming at you.
Every single time we put one of these things up, which is weekly.
That's right. And please, folks, support our sponsors, because without them, there is no Fred Jeff Show. And really, I think we're the only guys around that are talking about the good stuff, your neighbors that are making a difference, and the fun things to go out and see.
That's right. Now, we have some personal family business to clear out. We have new family members.
Did you beat the charges?
Yes.
Good.
We also have new family members.
Did they beat the charges?
They have not been brought up on charges yet.
Oh, they should stop hanging around you then.
That's right.
And
well,
who might
nobody,
this be?
Nobody learns these things. They just don't learn. So we have Nicholas Eric Bender, who is our little cousin Melissa's first child.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Cutie little baby. And... Kirby Cass,
the hamster.
No,
the guinea pig. Oh, my goodness.
So our little nephew saved for months, did tons of research, was looking at either hamster or gerbil or a guinea pig, did all the research, went to the pet store, test drove each animal.
Oh, my goodness.
And he finally went and picked it up last weekend, and Kirby is now part of the family.
And now the house will never smell the same.
No, guinea pigs are actually kind of clean.
The house will never smell the same, Fred. They may be clean, but everything they live in...
Yeah.
So good for them.
You know, and there's so much stuff going on today, this afternoon.
So let's get to it.
Yeah, well, last week we had on the folks from Born to Wear Blue. The book launch event is today, 1
Benefiting
o'clock.
Benefiting the Greater Tucson Fire Foundation.
It's today at 1 o'clock at the Jewish Community Center, the Tucson Jewish Community Center.
So right at the end of the show, you got time to pop in the shower, put on something nice, and head to the JCC.
That's right. Tucson Flamenco Festival ends today. That's at Casa Vicente downtown off of Stone.
Very fun.
Tucson October Corbett ends today. You go down there. And then Nightfall actually starts today, and that goes through October 28th.
And what about the Greek Festival? Doesn't that end today?
I think that ended last weekend.
Oh, it did? Man, that's a lot of ouzo.
Yeah, you were there.
I was there. Part of me was there.
Part of you was there. All right. Apple Annie's Arizona Centennial Corn Maze.
Super fun.
Is now through October 31st.
And what's the corn maze in the shape of?
It's in the shape of our beautiful state of Arizona.
Perfect.
15 acres of corn, 6 miles of pathways, 3 levels of difficulty, and all the Apple Annie's pie you can eat at the end.
Yum. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it is good stuff. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, the Tucson Boys Chorus. Now, they have their annual musicale regale every year. It's annual. You know, it's a little redundancy there for you, Jeffrey.
Yes.
But this year is the Grand Marshal Gala. So the Boys Chorus was the Grand Marshal for the rodeo parade this year.
Right.
So in concert with Tucson Rodeo, they're having this gala concert on November 3rd featuring all sorts of happy Western and country music.
Happy Western and country music.
That's right.
I got a funny story for you. So we were driving down the street. I was taking the kids to school. And I had on some music that was other than Kids Bop. And I don't remember quite what it was. It was probably some 70s rock and roll song. And Larry, my 8-year-old, says, "Dad, can you turn this country and Western music off, please?" And I'm like, just because it's not kids, Bob, doesn't mean it's country and western, Larry.
You're saying, using that term as if it was derogatory. You gotta.
No, my point is, my 8-year-old used it as a derogatory term.
Yeah, you gotta school that child.
Right, I did. Well, I did. Now all he can listen to is Johnny Cash.
A couple last things, and this is actually by no means the end of it. If you go to visittucson.org and look at the events calendar for Tucson Metropolitan Visitors and Convention Bureau, you'll see all this stuff, plus a lot of other things.
And there's so much stuff going
on.
There's
a lot of stuff. But
it's crazy. This is the crazy time of year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whenever the U of A plays an away game, it's just nuts.
Yeah, well,
and even when they play at home, it's crazy, too.
Yeah, this coming weekend, the 4th through the 7th, is the last weekend of The Taming of the Shrew by William Shakespeare over at Himmel Park. Butterfly Magic starts now through April 30th at the Tucson Botanical Gardens. Let's see. Oh, and we would be remiss if we didn't mention once more for our lovely mom and dad, the 5th Annual Texas Hold'em Poker Party, which is Friday, October 12th, being put on by the Angel Charity Men's Club. And that's a big kick. Now, Jeffrey, this is something I've been holding off on, waiting, because we have to keep this guy in a box. And so I think you can unlid the box now. We have Angus McDougall from Valley of the Moon here to talk about the Monty Tale of King Arthur Python Adventure.
Angus!
Well, hello there, laddies!
How are you doing, senor?
I'm doing great!
It's so good to see you again.
Ah, so good to be seen.
How are things at the Valley of the Moon?
Oh, they're just going magically, as they have since 1923.
That is awesome. And you guys have got quite a hit on your hands.
We do. You know, we've got a very special show coming up at Historic Valley of the Moon. But to tell you about that, I've brought a friend of mine, Lady Dingo. Lady Dingo, would you come here?
Oh, no. He brought a friend.
Oh, hello. Hello, boys. Oh, excuse me. I've got to get my skirt. Don't look up my skirt, Fred.
Fred.
My sky is for life.
Fred.
I'm just here to talk about business.
Business.
And I've got business to talk about, the Monty Tale of King Arthur Python Adventure at Valoon.
It is an awesome show, Lady Dingo.
It is. It's a tale of King Arthur and the knights. And you all want to come to see it. Bring a whole family. We're only asking for a wee little $3 donation to see the show coming up on October 6th with shows at 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. Can you believe it?
We can believe it.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. And what's really amazing is you guys have had the opportunity to do this show how many times already?
Oh, we've done it twice before for a total of 5 nights. And this is the last opportunity to go on the quest with King Arthur.
And I have to tell you, I've talked to tons of people who have seen the show. Lots of repeat performance. It has gotten 5 stars across the board.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's what everyone's saying about the show.
Hopefully they're not 10 stars.
So where can people get more information on the show, Lady Dingo?
Oh, you can go to the Valley of the Moon website at valleymoon.info. Or you can find us on Facebook. Or you can call that old fangled machine. I think they call it a telephone. And it's 323-1331.
Very nice. All right, anything else going on at the Valley of the Moon?
Oh, I'll leave that to Angus. Angus!
What? I'm in the bathroom. All right, I'm coming.
All right, what?
Angus, you got something on your foot there.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Excuse me, I'll just wipe that here on your shirt.
Oh, John Justice is going to love that. So what do you got? What else is going on in the Valley of the Moon?
Well, Valley of the Moon's big fundraiser for the year is our Haunted Ruins. It's the only family-friendly Halloween show you'll find here in town. It's a great little adventure that's been going on for over 40 years, where we lead you through the magic historic grounds of Valley of the Moon, and you meet all kinds of spooky spooky creatures along the way.
That's awesome. I understand you're going to have a Frankenstein monster out there.
Oh, yeah, we'll have a Frank. That's true. Might be a werewolf or two. You never know. And there's always wizards and fetties at Valley of the Moon as well.
Now, is this a family-friendly show?
Oh, we want the whole family to come. Everyone is welcome at Valley of the Moon.
Wonderful.
Frankenstein's monster actually passes out Snicker bars.
Does he? I heard he was giving away quarters.
Oh, okay.
If he starts handing out 20s, I'll line up.
Well, that's great. So can they go to the same website to get the information
they
on
can.
Halloween?
You can go to valleymoon.info, find us on Facebook, either way. And the show opens on October 12th and runs through the 30th.
Great.
And it's just a wee $8 donation we're asking for. And the little ones, as usual, are always free at Valley of the Moon.
That's wonderful. All right, Angus, thanks for coming and bringing your friend.
Thank you, lads.
Absolutely. And folks, go out to the Valley of the Moon and enjoy all the other fabulous things that are happening here in southern Arizona. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with our guests, our main guests for the show, so stick around.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Why are we proud to live in Tucson?
Because our four-star spas, guest ranches, and resorts attract admiring visitors from around the world.
And our original restaurants draw rave reviews across the country.
Because the Science and Technology Park is creating a cutting-edge biotech corridor.
And the University of Arizona leads the nation in optics and astronomy.
And because the nation's best gem and mineral showcase brings us thousands of visitors every year.
This is My Tucson, and together we thrive.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that will exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Hi, this is Jeff Ronstadt from Ronstadt Insurance and the Fred and Jeff Show. Healthcare reform is a reality, and it's very, very confusing. So give myself and my staff a call at Ronstadt Insurance at 520-721-4848, and we'll help you figure out what healthcare reform means to you, your employees, and your family. Ronstadt Insurance, we are pioneers in good service. Give us a call at 520-721-4848.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And we're back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeff.
Yeah.
that 5-hour energy I drank is really, don't do those things, man.
No, I think
I'm freaking out over here.
I think Angus McDougal rubbed off on you a little bit.
Yeah, boy, he was bouncing off the walls. That was crazy.
Yeah, but every time he comes, we have to, crate him up afterwards.
Whew.
But this is Fred and Jeff Show, and we're celebrating all the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
Wonderful. Qué bueno. That's right, Fred.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook.
Right. And we had a great show today.
Yeah, and also you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. It's beautiful. It's such a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Now, we've had this organization on a little bit, but we've never had them on like a full show. We're talking to the folks at the Tucson Museum of Art, Robert E. Knight, who's the chief executive officer, and Julie Saucy.
Very good.
Because she's very saucy.
Yeah, the chief curator and creator of modern
haven't
contemporary
heard that one, have
art.
You?
No.
No.
At the Tucson Museum
of Art. It's the 5-hour energy. Don't do it. Bounced off the walls.
I think it's also the donuts after church.
Yeah, no donuts. Yeah. So how are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you so much for inviting us here today and really, truly, for all that you do promoting events and the activities of the Old Pueblo. I mean, terrific show, and we're just really happy to be here.
Thanks, Robert.
So the check's in the mail, Robert.
Yeah, really?
No, it's
gosh,
true.
What are you doing next week?
It's true. It's true. It's true.
Well, thanks. We've had you guys on before to talk about the Crush event. But
no, that's not true. We've had folks from the museum on. But, Robert, we've never had you on the
You've
show.
Never
no,
had me.
And Julie, we've never had you on either.
Never.
No. So we got the A-team now, Fred.
I was using the pronoun you. I think it's a pronoun.
The royal you.
The royal you.
Oh.
You guys.
Sorry, that's Catholic education for you.
No, it's not. I would be. My thumbs would be even more scarred.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Right.
But anyways, Fred, we do appreciate the promotion of our Crush Wine, Food, and Art Festival. That's every spring. It really is great, and thank you so much. But we are absolutely delighted to be here today to talk to you a little bit about the history, events, and activities of the wonderful Tucson Museum of Art.
Well, that's what we want to talk about.
Yeah.
Because it is such a fabulous gem in the downtown.
It truly is.
And
a hidden treasure, we'd like to think of it.
You know, it kind of is because it's sort of like set in a lot of historic building, a lot of historic work. And as you're driving by, there's some public pieces around it, but you don't really get the sense that, hey, there's a museum.
I know. It's one of our biggest challenges, and we hear it all the time, of two things. One, I didn't know there was an art museum in town like that. And two, don't know where it's located. And because we're in this historic El Presidio district, when they were building the new building in the early 70s, they were mandated at a 34-foot height elevation so as not to compete or tower over the other historic buildings. So that's why, if you've been to the museum, we kind of call it the rhomboidal Guggenheim, because it's drilled down into the ground so that we could accommodate that height restriction.
I never knew that.
There you go. There's your fun fact for the day.
That could be our trivia question for later.
And we're just getting warmed up.
That's awesome. Now, Robert, where are you from?
I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Lincoln, Nebraska?
Yes.
And how'd you get to Tucson?
I got to Tucson through Julie, actually. Okay. Julie and I have known each other for 25-plus years, and I was running a museum in Montana, the Yellowstone Art Museum.
Oh, wow.
And we were touring nationally a large sculpture exhibition of the work of Deborah Butterfield. She does bronze horses and found object horses, and this is a very big show. And I was just talking with Julie about some of the logistics, and she said, hey, you know what? Our director just left, and you might be interested in this job. And so the rest, as they say, is history.
And when was that?
That was 7 years ago.
7 years. So you've been in the Old Pueblo for 7 years.
Been in the Old Pueblo for 7 years, but I was in Scottsdale for 15.
That doesn't count.
I know. It doesn't. I'm trying to do an Arizona reference.
You may have to count that against you.
Yeah, okay.
No,
okay.
Until you hit 15 here, you're making up for it's like you're in purgatory right now.
But I gotta tell you, it was
15 years.
It was wonderful coming back to Arizona, because after spending that time in Maricopa County, I worked with so many of the artists that live in southern Arizona. And so it was just, you know, it was a real coming home and felt right and very happy to be here.
And now, being the CEO of a museum like we have here in town, is that kind of what your dream has always been? You went to school to do that. You've kind of followed that passion. It's brought you to Tucson?
Exactly. Actually, I started as a visual artist, as so many of us did, Julie as well. And
I'm sorry, visual artist meaning?
Studio artist, painter,
okay,
sculptor.
Good.
And just kind of fell into the museum world, and it was just a right fit early on in my life. And my time in Scottsdale was really great, and I worked with the Scottsdale Cultural Council and then founded a Museum of Contemporary Art, the Scottsdale Museum of Contemporary Art.
Oh, that's great.
And we opened in 1999. And so, you know, I just feel very blessed to have had the opportunities that I've had, and to be able to be in Tucson now is really a dream.
Did you find it hard to go from the artistic side to the business side of art?
Well, I did that 27 years ago, so, you know, I can't even really remember. It seemed like just a natural transition.
Good for you.
Yeah, so
for
what kind of art did you produce?
Bad.
If
you can't do, then teach. And
if you
can't draw, then administer.
It's not true. I've seen photographs of his work. I've seen actual paintings.
No, he wasn't bad at all. You know, they say you got to have that day job. And so,
right. I got an old friend that says, don't give up your old shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't throw away your old shoes. Well, that's great. So tell us real quick. We only have a couple minutes before the bottom of the hour. What in your short tenure, 7 years, it's kind of a short amount of time for the length of the time the museum has been open, what was your favorite show that you guys have put on?
Oh, my gosh. You know, there's been so many, and for so many different reasons. And that's like saying, who's your favorite child? It's really an impossible answer to give because, again, you know, we had a wonderful Ansel Adams show.
Yes.
Julie's done incredible exhibits based on the environment, Trouble in Paradise, which I hope she'll talk to you a little bit about. A phenomenal show. The guitar show was at the U of A. We did the Who Shot Rock and Roll.
Yeah, that was outstanding.
Yeah, the 55-year history of rock and roll through photographs. That was really good.
So maybe let's talk about a local artist. An exhibit from a local artist. I know that you've seen several. David Teneo pops to mind.
Oh, yeah. Right. We did a wonderful retrospective of David Teneo's work, and just really, really well attended. And it was a celebration of his mural work as well as his studio paintings. And that was really great.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you guys will do a little bit of everything from the rock and roll to the Ansel Adams to the local guys. You guys are willing to make it all happen.
You know, we like to think of ourselves as encyclopedic and that there's no such thing as bad art. And so whether it's right now we have 5,000 years of Asian Chinese art on display. We do everything from pre-Columbian to viceroyalty to contemporary Latin American, Mexican folk art. Julie does modern and contemporary. We have a Western art curator that does art of the American West, which includes Native American and Western. I mean, we try to do it all. We try to mix it up and just constantly be doing something new and refreshing.
That's all. Okay, so that was a lot.
Yeah.
You guys do a ton. So we've got to take a hard break right now for the news, which we hope we all enjoy. And then we'll be back in the second part of the show. We're really going to talk about some of the art that you guys have had and explain what you hope to do in the future. And now with Julie. So folks, stick around. We got more good stuff coming up on the Fred and Jeff Show. As Congress Street opens and construction slows down, it's never been easier to enjoy downtown.
With more than 15,000 spaces, it's a breeze to find parking while you're downtown.
You can enjoy everything from world-class cuisine to great casual dining. Take in a show or explore dozens of galleries and museums.
Have a night on the town with the best nightlife around. Shop at amazing stores with unique and fashionable goods in Tucson's downtown.
Fun you won't find anywhere except downtown. Support your locally owned business downtown.
See more at Tucson. See more at
going down on downtowntucson.org.
See more at downtowntucson.org. What a cheese.
Well, you know, come on.
Are you planning a special event or celebration? Call Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in southern Arizona.
Dave Fitzsimmons, cartoonist here. I figured since you can buy politicians so easily these days, why not rent an entire party? So I contacted Arizona Party Rental, and they said, that's not what we do. Well, guess what I found out? I found out they rent everything you need to throw a party. You know, I'm the kind of guy who likes getting married so often, it's good to know. Planning a party or a special event? Check him out at ArizonaPartyRental.net. Now, every time I get married, I call on Arizona Party Rental. If you're like me and you say I do more often than Larry King, call on Arizona Party Rental. And unlike Uncle Sam, they understand what a tight budget means.
Thanks a lot, David. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Do what Fitzsimmons does. Draw your own conclusions. Visit Arizona Party Rental today on Speedway and check us out on Facebook.
Do you suffer from irrigation leaks, a broken sprinkler, leaky valves, or you just can't find the problem? At H&S Garden, we provide high-quality, reliable service at reasonable prices. Our repair technician has over 25 years of experience. And if you hate pulling weeds, raking mesquite beans, or trimming those thorny bushes, just leave the dirty work to us. We're licensed contractors with 30 years of experience in landscape management. Our crews are professional and take pride in their work. We'll meet you on site to establish a program that works for you. Call today at 293-6488 or visit us at hsgarden.com. H&S Garden, a family-owned and operated Tucson small business.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And we're back. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating all the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And we invite you to visit us at FredandJeff.com. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook.
Perfect.
So we're here with the folks from the Tucson Museum of Art, Robert Knight, the Chief Executive Officer, and Julie Sassy, who is the Saucy.
Yeah, I told you you'd do that.
Yeah, she told
See,
you'd
when
get
you put
it wrong.
That in my brain, it's like, it's going to come. It's going to come.
Right.
So Julie Saucy.
Very good.
From the Chief Curator, and she also curates modern and contemporary art. So before the break, we were talking about some of the favorite shows, Robert. And
wait a minute, I have to interject. You guys just closed probably one of the all-time favorite, next to the Rock and Roll Show and the Ansel Adams Show, which we've already mentioned, that show that you did in conjunction with the centennial for Arizona, the Ranchers. Unbelievable. Can you tell our listeners, because I know that
what
the
book, they missed.
Well, no, but the book is available though too, right?
The book is available. Yes, it's an exhibit titled 100 Years, 100 Ranchers. And it's really a wonderful thesis. This photographer Scott Baxter set out and really spent 10 years putting this exhibit together, and the thesis was pretty tight. You had to have had your family had to have owned a ranch in Arizona for 100 years. And he went out and photographed 100 ranching families who have owned the property for 100 years. And he, oh my gosh, he has the most incredible, heartwarming, positive experiences and stories that he tells about his time meeting with these ranchers from throughout the state. And so this was a huge exhibit. It was actually 101 photographs. We snuck in an extra one. But it was so, so well received. And last Sunday, we had a closing event, and we had actual ranchers that came. They came to the opening, but they also came to the closing and celebrated the closing of the show. Beautiful black and white portraits of ranching families, and we were proud to be a part of the official Arizona Centennial project.
It was fantastic.
It really was.
And if you missed the show, folks, you have got to pick up this book. Are you still selling the book in your gift shop?
We actually don't sell it. We tie it, but we have a little handout on how to get it from the artist.
Perfect.
And so you can contact us or contact the artist himself, Scott Baxter, 100 Years, 100 Ranchers. You can get the book. Beautiful coffee table book.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to try to you know, paint you in a corner again.
Okay.
Favorite. One, and I'll rephrase the question this time. one of your favorite shows that you've done over the years.
Well, I had mentioned that a show that Julie curated titled Trouble in Paradise, examining the discord between nature and society, I believe. Am I close?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. And that was just a wonderful, incredible group show that looked at all kinds of ways that the environment impacts who we are and what we do. And, you know, I'll let Julie talk to you a little bit more about it because she's the expert.
It actually came about around the time of Katrina. And it seemed like every time I looked at the news or read a newspaper, I would see the latest flood, the latest hurricane. It seemed like it was more than usual. And I thought, what a great idea to see the artists who are actually responding to all of these natural disasters. So what I did was I started looking around, and it turned out, artists all over the world were responding. So we had Michael Najar from Germany. We had an artist from Korea, one from Australia. And they were all looking at it in different ways. So it wasn't just a landscape show. It looked at sort of the idea of discord in many different ways. So it was great because we were able to have lots of great panel discussions. And our mission is connecting art to life. And what a better way to do that with a very pressing topic of our time. So,
gosh, those last two examples, the ranchers and then, environmental tragedies like that really do put that together.
It does. And there are continual threads like this. So, for instance, when we talk about 100 Years, 100 Ranchers, we have an exhibition that's coming up in the spring called Desert Grasslands. And that's part of a big consortium of institutions around the Southwest that are all looking at topics pertinent to the desert. So I decided to look at something that was really near and dear to us, which is our own Southwest desert grasslands. And we're hoping with this great partnership we're starting up with the Nature Conservancy to bring many of those same ranchers who were photographed in that exhibition back in to see the museum exhibition that looks at basically the land that they ranch that is very important to them.
And maybe see it in a different light.
Absolutely. So it's going to be a great exchange of, artists, ranchers, environmentalists, naturalists. And this is the kind of thing we like to do, is engage multiple audiences with our exhibitions.
So, Julie, give us your full title.
It's a long one. It's a mouthful. Chief Curator and Curator of Modern and Contemporary Art.
And can you help our listeners and Fred and I understand the difference between modern and contemporary art?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. A lot of times people think of modern art as just abstraction, but basically modern art is from around 1912. It's sort of debatable when it ends, but around 1968, 1970 is the end of modernism. So contemporary art just means art of its art of our time. So anything that goes after, say, minimalism becomes contemporary art. So I cover the full territory of the 20th and the 21st century.
And of the modern art, give us a couple names of that people would recognize.
Well, a good one, and it's coming up in an exhibition actually opening on October 6th, is Henri Matisse. So he would be one of the first of the modern artists, and we're going to be exhibiting several works on paper from the Pasiphae series and one special piece from the Jazz series, and that's going to be a great chance to see one of the greats of French modern art.
And who was this gentleman?
Henri Matisse was a consummate draftsman, a colorist. He was very interested in kind of responding to poetry. And in this case, the show that we're going to be doing, it's responding to the poetry of a poet by the name of Montherlant. And so what he liked to do is team up with a poet or a writer, and then he would kind of illustrate their writing. So he is responding to the ancient Greek myth of the Minotaur. And so very simplistic in terms of just simple line, but they're very exciting. And it talks about passion and love and betrayal and ancient Greek mythology. So it should be very interesting to see.
Do you ever get people, or do you ever hear people getting hung up on maybe a, the Tucson Museum of Art is for the elites. Mm-hmm. It's all hoity-toity, and they don't really have anything there for me.
You have to come down to know that that's not the way it is. If you come down to the museum, you'll see screaming kids running with glee to see the great exhibitions. We have a wonderful education program. We have Ikebana displays coming up in conjunction with the Barbara Rogers exhibition, which is, by the way, sort of the opposite of the Trouble in Paradise show. It's all about beauty and paradise and just the beauty of decoration in nature. It's really something that almost everyone can relate to at one point or another without any reservations. If you don't like this exhibition, you'll love that one, or there'll be elements that you can respond to. So far from elite, we are very user-friendly.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, when you're talking about going from rock and roll to ranchers to a French minimalist, I mean, mm-hmm. that's pretty much something for everybody. And you have classes for kids and adults like Fred and I who, you know, aren't up on that type of art, but I'm sure we'd enjoy it a bunch.
I bring my own box of crayons.
For example, when we do our Grassland show in the spring, we're going to have a Tohono O'odham basket maker come in and show how baskets are made from the native grasses. We'll have someone talking about eradication of the buffel grass and invasive species. So we bring in lots of different things that aren't just about, you know, art, although, you know, we certainly have lots of programs so that people can learn more about art so that it isn't so scary to people.
Yes. Well, it seems, I mean, to me, art has always been sort of the touch point to have these dialogues about issues that the people need to talk about in any community.
Mm-hmm. One of the big things we have coming up is, of course, Barbara Rogers, The Imperative of Beauty. And even the discussion about, is it okay to make beautiful art, is going to be part of a discussion.
See, that's crazy.
And that's on November 8th.
Well, we got a minute left before we have to take a break, but a discussion about, is it okay to make beautiful art?
Well, there was a big movement that shied away from art as beautiful because it had to have some serious issue or content. And so this exhibition is going to be all about allowing yourselves to celebrate beauty in nature, beauty in art. And it's just one of a wonderful array of issues and ideas that you can explore. So it doesn't always have to be beautiful, but it doesn't always have to be ugly.
But couldn't you say, and this is the last thought, this is the last thing we'll say before we have to take our break, but wouldn't it be truthful to say that there's always beauty in art?
There's beauty in truth, and if you are true to yourself in what you're saying through your art, then there shouldn't be anything to be afraid of. It's okay to discuss serious issues. It's okay to have it be about nothing, just looking, just the shapes and forms. Another case in point, we have a show coming up called The Shape of Things, which is just dealing with shaped canvases and simple abstraction. And all of this is okay to enjoy through art.
As we like to say, fear no art.
Mm-hmm. Fear no art. Okay, folks, we got to take our last break. We'll be right back with our friends from the Tucson Museum of Art. So stick around.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Shelby, how does Five Star give back to its customers?
Existing monthly pest control customers who refer a friend to us receive a discount on their next service.
How about your current termite treatment customers?
When a customer's home is treated for termites, they refer a friend who has their home treated, they will receive an additional year of service on their termite contract.
Wow, that could add up to over $1,000 in savings.
Yes, it can. Log on to our website for details on our customer rewards program.
Five Star, the natural choice. 886-0045, 5starTermite.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Ronstadt from Ronstadt Insurance and the Fred and Jeff Show. Healthcare reform is a reality, and it's very, very confusing. So give myself and my staff a call at Ronstadt Insurance at 520-721-4848, and we'll help you figure out what healthcare reform means to you, your employees, and your family. Ronstadt Insurance, we are pioneers in good service. Give us a call at 520 721-4848.
When Jeff and I are looking for a good cigar, we head over to Anthony's Cigar Emporium.
That's right, Fred. They have a great selection, knowledgeable staff, a comfortable environment. It's the perfect place to buy a cigar for any time.
Three convenient locations, one at Oracle and McGee, one at Crossroads Festival at Swan and Grant, and their new location at Williams Center at Craycroft and Broadway.
Come on over to Anthony's Cigar Emporium, get your cigar, and you might even run into Fred and I, and you can tell us why you love Tucson.
What's a monkey burger?
A simple, well-made burger, cooked to your choice.
Why monkey burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway and Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
Women Investing, an award-winning comprehensive financial services firm, offers customized programs designed to help grow and conserve your wealth. We encourage you to explore our website at powerwomeninvesting.com and learn more about the services we provide. If you would like to make an appointment, call us at 571-9053. That's 571-9053.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And we're back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson, Southern Arizona so gosh darn spectacular.
That's right.
Brilliant.
That's right.
Wonderful.
And visit us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Visit FredandJeff.com for all kinds of fun things to do here in our community.
And follow us on Twitter.
Follow the Twitter, yeah.
And subscribe on iTunes.
Right. So we are here with Julie Saucy from the Tucson Museum of Art. And during the break, we were talking about some of your upcoming shows. Can you share with our listeners what you guys have cooking for the future?
Sure. Well, the anchor show for this coming fall, excuse me, for this coming week for the fall is Barbara Rogers, The Imperative of Beauty. And it's a 50-year retrospective. And I bet a lot of your listeners had her as a teacher. She came to Arizona in 1990, and she was a professor at the U of A until 2007. So this is going to be a major exhibition encompassing works from the 1970s, 80s, 90s, and current work. What's great about her is she was an artist in the 1970s in the San Francisco Bay Area. So she was a part of all of that exciting time artistically, and studied under Elmer Bischoff and Richard Diebenkorn, who are noted Bay Area figurative artists, and actually Nathan Oliveira too. So what we're going to be showing is the work that put her on the map, which is photorealist work. But what made her special is she made exotic paradise, tropical lush settings with sexy couples who are posing and enjoying life, and sort of part of that magic realism, exactly. But then what happened to her is...
Now, is this an adult show?
Well, it's all ages, although I will say there is a little skin showing, okay. So we will
Fred
have
and I have
little
nothing
warning
against
signs.
Skin, trust me.
You might enjoy this.
It's artistic
then.
Skin.
Right.
It's like the Venus de Milo.
It's okay, nature. Perfect. It's nature. The body is beautiful.
Yes.
And then what happened to her is in 1982, she was in Hawaii taking photographs for her paintings, and Hurricane Iwo hit. And what happened to her is waking up and seeing the devastation, instead of it ruining her work, it changed her work. And suddenly she realized just all plant forms in its chaos was beautiful. So you see these different eras, from this beautiful photorealist work to the more abstract work, looking at the chaos of nature, and then her fascination with formal gardens. And all of this comes together. What is sort of the climax of her work is that she did a 17-foot mural for the Allure of the Seas big cruise ship, and so you'll see the big maquette. That
actually
was the prototype.
I saw a picture of that. It's pretty cool.
It's fascinating that she did such a piece.
So,
so that show is going to open on October 6th, but if you join the museum, you can go to the big members opening from 6 to 8, and then after that, member or general public is invited to an Art After Dark celebration. And what we're going to do is riff off that theme of paradise and do a whole night with a Tahitian performance and
Sweet.
A Polynesian theme. So wear your favorite Hawaiian shirt.
And grass skirt, right.
And yes, absolutely. We're going to have fire spinning, food trucks, tropical shaved ice. We're going to have music by the Satter Entertainment Group, a steel drum performance. I think there's even going to be a hula and a Tahitian performance.
Now, so when is
there going to be actual Tahitian and hula dancing instruction.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know. This
is
great. Fun.
When is this happening again?
This is all Friday, October 5th. And
this coming Friday. This Friday.
Robert, what time does that start?
8 o'clock for the Art After Dark. The members reception starts at 6, so sign up, get your membership, come from 6 to 8 for the members preview, and then we transition seamlessly into Art After Dark.
Perfect. We're here with Julie Saucy, the curator of the Tucson Museum of Art. One quick question for you.
Robert Knight.
And Robert Knight, but I thank you, friend. But one quick question. It seems to me that a lot of these great artists have some sort of transition in their life, whether it's something that happens politically or something that happens environmentally, or they lose a
personally.
Love. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then their art changes, and all of a sudden they become a master. Do you see that kind of running? I mean, does someone become a master artist without having any of this chaos and destruction in their life?
Well, absolutely. Of course, there's just the innate talent someone has. But to me, what I find fascinating is watching an artist grow and change and unfold. And to think that someone would do a certain style of work and then never evolve, it just isn't possible. So it really just shows how much life experiences and, years of research, can affect the type of work you do. And that's true in everyone's lives. We all change.
And I think that I want to tie that into how art is for everybody. It's not just for a specific population. It's for kids. It's for adults. It's for older, younger, and,
that's what kids and adults are.
Older and younger. But, very
interesting. Socioeconomic.
There's no
boundaries when
right.
it comes to.
And we wanted to talk about that a little bit, because that seems to be one of the stigmatisms that you guys have with the museum, is that people have this thought that it's only for the wealthy, it's only for
right.
the elite, but really it's not. And you guys do a lot of work to disprove that.
Well, it's really the good work all museums do in this country. And we do have some challenges in our location and our visibility. And that's why we appreciate being on shows like this. But people associate museum with mausoleum or something that you it's like a library. You have to go in. You got to be quiet. You can't touch. You can't have fun. You can't,
And here you guys are doing hula lessons.
Yeah, exactly. So we're trying to do everything we can to connect directly with our community. Events like Art After Dark, where we celebrate the nature of creativity in all of its manifestations, in all of its different forms.
And you have education programs.
We have so many wonderful education programs. And on the first Sunday of every month, we are free and open to the public, and we have a program called Picture This, Art for Families, and people bring their families. We have over 1,000 people that show up this event, and they can take a tour of the current exhibition and then go and make a hands-on studio project of their experience. And so, it's things like that, but also outreach programs that we have. For example, with our two hospitals here in town, our docents go out and work with critically and terminally ill children and do art projects with them and their families to try to get them to think about other things than the chaos and the tragedy in their lives.
And speaking of tragedy, we have a group called the Owl and Panther Project, and that is a tremendous program dealing with refugees from countries all over.
Iraq, Bhutan, Nepal, Somalia, Ethiopia, the Republic of Congo, and Iran.
And these are all folks that have moved to Tucson that you're outreaching to.
Tucson is one of the major refugee
hubs
in the nation. And so we have this wonderful partnership, and we do these programs where they come to the museum. Again, they have tours, they make hands-on projects, and it's a way of orienting them to our community and making them feel a part of it. But also, these are all trauma victims or torture victims have been relocated here in Tucson. So, again, we try to figure out as many ways as we can to connect with this community and to provide service through the arts.
That is awesome. Now, there's got to be somebody out there you guys want to say thank you to. Has to be somebody.
Well, there's so many people. I mean, if you look at the funders to this series of exhibitions coming up, it goes on and on and on. But the Stonewall Foundation, the Coutts Family Foundation, Marianne Evans and Edwin Ruse, it goes on and on, the number of corporations, the individual donors.
So it's really a community getting together, supporting the art.
Well, and to put a little finer point on that, those are people that donate financially, which is so vitally important. But we have hundreds and hundreds of volunteers that are really the heartbeat of our organization. We, our little tiny staff, could not come close to doing the events and activities that we do without the support of our volunteer corps. And we have five support organizations that do everything from the Treasure House estate sale that's coming up, that our league puts on. It's an incredible three-day event, to the Crush Wine Festival that you mentioned earlier. I mean, it's just one thing after another. So I encourage everyone, all of your listeners, to go to our brand spanking new website, TucsonMuseumOfArt.org. Just went live last week, and it is chock full of events, activities, so many things that you can take advantage of, and I guarantee you, you'll find something that you'll like if you go and take a look at that calendar.
Awesome.
It's very pretty.
Okay, we have a dual or family membership, annual membership, to the Tucson Museum of Art to give away to a listener. And all you have to do, because we ran out of time, so no funky trivia question this week, is send Fred an email at fred@fredandjeff.com and say, I want to go to the Tucson Museum of Art, and it's yours.
Except if you want something in the last 60 days,
yeah,
don't
stay away.
Stay away.
You guys, Julie, I was going to say Robert, but it is Robert, because earlier I called you Richard and you kid me. But Bobby Knight or Robert?
Bobby.
Oh, it happened.
No.
Robert Knight, Julie Saucy, you guys are two of the reasons Tucson is a phenomenal place to live.
Thank you
so much for what you guys do. Thank you for being really, really involved in our community.
Well, it's an honor to be here. And again, we thank you for your promotional support and doing all that you do to make Tucson the great old Pueblo that it is.
Thank you. Thanks, Robert. Okay, folks, another show. We'll see you next week for another great Fred and Jeff show.